Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And if Joe Biden ends up winning the presidential election, he'll have plenty of campaign promises to live up to. And that includes lofty goals the former vice president has said he'd get started as soon as he's sworn in.
If I'm your president, on day one, we'll implement the national strategy I've been laying out since March. We'll develop and deploy rapid tests with results available immediately.
If I have the honor of being president, I will end the Muslim ban on day one.
I'd make the changes on the corporate taxes on day one.
On day one, I'm sending to the United States Congress an immigration bill providing a pathway for 11 million undocumented, and I'm going to make sure every dreamer is protected now.
We're going to have to wait and see whether a potential Joe Biden administration can actually hit the ground running on all of those policies. For more, I'm joined by Jennifer Epstein, political reporter covering the Biden campaign for Bloomberg News. Jennifer, thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump has downplayed the severity of the coronavirus even after contracting it himself. But Joe Biden has said he'd make some big changes if he became president. What would he do differently?
It goes from everything from encouraging mask wearing by leading by example on that, as he has during the campaign, wearing a mask himself all the time, except for when he's kind of at a microphone, socially distanced from anybody else on stage, launching a whole of federal government response to the pandemic that would be aggressively different, I think, than the Trump plan. He would not be fighting with some of the scientists. He would be listening to them, he has said, deploying the resources of the federal government. He plans to use a Defense Production Act more aggressively than President Trump has to kind of get industry to do its part, whether it's with PPE production or vaccine production down the line. He has a plan for the distribution of the vaccine, even just in defending the Affordable Care Act. He says that that will make vaccine distribution easier and free, and also will protect people who end up having long-term health issues because of their COVID cases, lung issues, or whatever else. So it really is a pretty comprehensive approach that touches on a whole lot of different areas. I think, you know, it's the public health response and then obviously also an economic response. He says that he will talk to governors and mayors about mask wearing to try to encourage them to put in their own mask mandates. He can't, you know, really order a federal mandate, despite kind of some of the stuff that the Trump people have said, but he can certainly encourage mask wearing, as I said before. It seems like he really just wants to bore down in every single area where the government can help fight this pandemic, is kind of a piece of what he plans to do.
Joe Biden would also inherit an economy right now that has been battered by the COVID-19 crisis. We mentioned at the top of the show that 8 million Americans have been pushed into poverty. People are scrambling to keep their homes, to put food on the table, to find work that may not return since this pandemic has taken hold of the country. Does Joe Biden have a plan for dealing with that economy should he inherit it as becoming president?
Yeah, he does. He has this economic plan called Build Back Better, which is a couple trillion dollars of spending that's meant to stimulate the economy. I think it will depend a little bit on the results of the election, whether Democrats win the Senate, if he wins the presidency, and whether there's any activity during the lame duck session of Congress on if the House and Senate can and the White House can agree on stimulus, you know, a couple trillion dollars of stimulus spending now through the end of the year, or if people are going to continue to kind of be in need and the government not act, in which case after Inauguration Day, Biden would move very quickly on a stimulus bill. I think that the size of it is still to be determined, and how much of that pulls on some of the ideas that are in his Build Back Better plan, which are things like clean energy spending, health and home aid and nursing care and things like that, which I think, you know, a lot of people would say are badly needed during the pandemic. So it will depend on sort of what happens before he were to become president. But there is definitely an intention to either add to whatever is done during the lame duck session this year, or to come through with a bigger plan than the couple trillion dollars that's being talked about, or had been negotiated a bit between Nancy Pelosi and the administration in the last couple months.
This also would rely very much on how who is in Congress, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, if Democrats have a majority in the Senate, I think you're looking and they're likely to keep their majority in the House. You're looking at a much bigger bill than if Republicans end up in control of the Senate still. You know, it could be the difference between it being $2 or $3 trillion or maybe five, or, you know, it really will depend on that and that alone.
Jennifer, last week, Joe Biden announced a plan that would create a task force to reunite the 545 migrant children who were separated from their families under the Trump administration and whose parents, advocates, and lawyers say they are still unable to find. What would that task force actually be able to do? Because it seems like a task force is very Washington for we don't know what to do yet.
Yeah, it certainly seems like something that the campaign kind of scrambled to put out to seem responsive to this. I you know, I've covered the family separation issue closely a couple of years ago, and I know that the ACLU and other groups have been working really hard to match up these kids with their parents, find their parents who may not be in the U.S. anymore. And I think the federal government does have a lot of resources around, you know, everything from they have people on the ground in the Central American countries that these kids came from, you know, so but the campaign has not really detailed what this would look like or how they would do something that all of these advocacy groups have been unable to do over the last 2 years and find these parents to reunite them with their kids. So I think that kind of remains to be seen exactly how that would work.
Joe Biden has also made multiple promises about how he'd overhaul the Trump administration's immigration policy, specifically how it relates to DACA and trying to make those protections permanent. So if Joe Biden wins and the Democrats don't take the Senate, would he be able to do that through executive order?
His campaign has not said exactly how he would intend to do that. If that were the case, I think he may try to do that through executive order, which I think would then be challenged in the courts and get up to the Supreme Court. And now that the Supreme Court is pretty clearly not in Democrats' favor, I would assume that that would get struck down. But I think that that's probably the way that they would go. I mean, maybe they would be able to come to a deal, even with a Republican Senate, as part of a bigger bill that has other priorities that Republicans favor, something like defense spending. It's unclear exactly how that would happen. I think a lot of the things that Biden has proposed, there's always a piece of it that kind of assumes that he'll have a Congress that will work with him, whether it's a Republican majority or a Democratic one. And that's certainly something that until recently he was saying quite a bit on the campaign trail, that he thought that once Donald Trump was out of office, there would be some Republicans who would be eager to work with him. But he has sort of backed away from that message, I think, in seeing just how white-knuckled they were in the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation process, getting through that process in about a month, that he is, I think, more skeptical now than ever before about the prospect of working with Republicans. And I think that that would pose a challenge on immigration and lots of other issues.
We've talked a lot in the previous segments about President Trump's immigration policies, but using his policies to dissuade people from even attempting to enter the United States. However, Joe Biden was vice president during the Obama administration, and Obama himself was called the deporter in chief for his aggressive policies to deport people from the United States. Joe Biden has also made a point of distancing himself from some of those failed immigration reforms under the Obama administration. What's his plan to go forward should he become president?
One piece of his plan, and that one issue that has created a lot of the issues at the border, is to kind of reinvigorate the programs that allow for refugees and asylum seekers to apply for status in the U.S. You know, the Trump administration has been really strict around people seeking asylum at the southern border, and Biden has made clear that he would kind of reverse the policy and go back to a time when somebody could you know, cross the border and apply for that status if they are, you know, found by authorities. So I think that you're just going to see, a revamping of those agencies and the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to make it possible for people to go through the process as it has previously existed to become true pieces of the immigration system in the U.S.
Another part of his legacy that has been a large point of criticism for Joe Biden was the 1994 crime bill that he authored. Last month, he called the crime bill, quote, a mistake. How do Black and brown Americans in particular look at Joe Biden in this light? I mean, does he have a current criminal justice reform plan that looks markedly different than the crime bill?
Yeah, he does. You know, there are two crime bills. There was a 1986 bill and a 1994 bill. The 1986 one had tough drug laws that created a situation where people of color oftentimes got punished much more harshly than white people, the kind of the crack and cocaine sentencing disparity. And so he has said that much of that was a mistake, but he has also said Black leaders were on his side on this. And it's true, the Congressional Black Caucus, faith leaders and community leaders were all in favor of those bills at the time. And they say that they were doing what they believed was best at the time, and that obviously, you know, the way that those policies were carried out was really detrimental to those communities. So Biden is proposing to basically get rid of, you know, a lot of the criminal penalties for any kind of drug offenses, to release people who are in jail for those offenses now, to work on drug treatment issues as a way to help people rather than kind of punish people. So there's a whole lot he's just going to do on the drug piece. And then just in terms of broader criminal justice reform, he was, you know, attacked pretty roundly by the president and by other Republicans for kind of being on the same side as people who are protesting to defund the police. And he has made very clear he does not want to defund the police. In fact, he wants to spend more, not just on policing, but on sort of supporting police officers and with mental health people who could, you know, deal with a situation like what just happened in Philadelphia. So he has a lot of different plans there.
Jennifer Epstein is a political reporter covering the Biden campaign for Bloomberg News. Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.